for 20 minutes before going to visit my friend and neighbour Gloria to announce my intentions. Guess what? I'm going to walk across France. Gloria liked to get straight to the point. When? She asked. 1st May. The weather will be just right then.
Good for you,
she replied. And that was it, really. I started planning. It couldn't require anything more than a bit of common sense, I thought. There were a few potential snags. I'd never hiked anywhere further than a 3-mile radius from my house before, nor pitched a tent. I didn't and never would understand how to use a compass, and my level of physical fitness was somewhere on a par with Mother Teresa and the Pope. However, by far the largest obstacle to the venture were the animals. 2 elderly mares, 6 dogs, a cat, 2 parrots, some fish, and a pair of killer geese who were going to need someone to take care of them while I was away. My husband Terry couldn't possibly leave his business unattended in England for several weeks, and, well, as a matter of fact, I hadn't actually mentioned the project to him. I knew perfectly well that if he learned about it in the early planning stages, it was absolutely certain that he would have succeeded in talking me out of going, as he is a great deal more sensible than I am, and so all the arrangements had to be concreted before I told him what I was doing. Unless I could find someone crazy enough to come and caretake the menagerie, the whole project was not going to happen. So I posted a message to an internet board and, to my astonishment, netted Jennifer. There was nothing to stop me now. Over the next 4 months, I rambled around with a backpack laden with dictionaries and encyclopedias, masquerading as clothes and a tent. I tried to put in between 12 and 20 miles a day of walking at a steady 3 miles an hour, and during daylight it all seemed simple. The boots and socks I had carefully chosen were supremely comfortable, and I could walk effortlessly for several hours. But at night, in the dark, my sleepless mind wandered over all the potential problems ahead, and a little voice kept saying, "You can't possibly do this thing, you silly woman. Swallow your pride and admit it." While another voice assured me, "There's nothing to it, just a question of putting one foot in front of the other. You said you were going to. Now get on and do it." When I went to the station to collect Jennifer, the fact that she didn't arrive as scheduled came as no surprise. Seriously expecting a total stranger to travel from Texas into the French unknown was being rather optimistic, and I didn't know whether I was pleased to be off the hook or disappointed. Another train was due in from Paris in a couple of hours, so I hung around for that just in case. As the passengers disembarked, I skinned my eyes for a lanky cowgirl, but there wasn't one. The human straggle tapered out into an emptiness, and as I turned with a resigned shrug to leave the platform, the rattle of little wheels and some gasping drew my attention to the bottom of the stairs. The noises emanated from a short, wide figure, clad in jeans and checked shirt, topped by a huge Stetson, with a backpack over her shoulders and dragging a wheeled suitcase behind her. I waved. Her anxious expression converted itself into a brilliant ear-to-ear grin. She plucked off the Stetson and jammed it on my head.
"Oh, brother, am I glad to see you. I was real worried when I missed the train in Paris. The flight from the States was late getting in. And then when I didn't see a lady in a beret waiting on the platform, I thought I'd made a terrible mistake coming here."
I'd forgotten that I promised to wear a beret. Over a couple of beers, Jennifer took in the local scenery, and we started getting to know each other a little. You cannot meet this lady and not instantly adore her. She is necessarily built on generous lines because she has an enormous heart that embraces every person, beast, or plant. 2 devilishly blue eyes sparkle from an unlined face that gives no hint that she is a grandmother, nor that she has survived numerous major health problems, including cancer involving radical surgery. She married at 15 and raised her 3 children single-handed. Amongst various jobs she has taken to earn her living, she had driven a giant bulldozer in a uranium mine. She radiates warmth and kindness, merriment and dependability. I was quite certain that my menagerie couldn't be in better hands than hers. I introduced her to Tinkerbell, my 20-year-old Citroën 2CV, whose bodywork was